The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. Tractor Supply trusts 5G solutions from T-Mobile. Together, we're connecting over 2,200 stores with 5G business internet, empowering AI so team members can match shoppers with the products they need faster. This is enriching customer experience. This is Tractor Supply with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Welcome to the Julia and Gino podcast, where business meets family. We explore what the entrepreneur life looks like from a family perspective. We are your hosts, Julia and Gino Barbaro. Hey everyone, this is Julia Barbaro, host of the Julia and Gino podcast. I'm here with the co-founder of Jake and Gino, my husband and co-host, Gino Barbaro.
This is going to be a very enjoyable podcast, Julia. How are you doing this afternoon?
Thank you.
Well, you look amazing. Thank you. Now you are amazing too. Today's guests are Matt and Erin Ingold. They are the co-founders of Metanoia Catholic, a coaching company dedicated to helping Catholics discover and live God's plan for their lives. By combining classical mindset coaching and the teachings of the Catholic faith, they help others grow in holiness, virtue, and live a life of impact. That's what we all want, everybody. Welcome to the show, Erin and
welcome.
Matt.
Thank you.
Hey,
thank you.
Thank you.
We love it. We love that you guys are New Yorkers.
And that we're all wearing some shade of pink right now, too.
Yes.
And we're sharing the same mics, too.
Yes, and the same mics. And you guys moved from New York to Florida. So we have a lot of things in common. This is all awesome.
I'm just trying to pull you guys to become Floridians. And we're going to talk about coaching. We're going to talk about mindset.
We're there.
I think what I love about it more than anything else, it's coming down to personal development. So let me ask you, how did you guys get into the life coaching space? Because most Catholics look at life coaching sometimes and they say, we were talking about a little woo. It's a little too new age-ish for me. So how did you guys get into it?
Yeah. And there's a healthy suspicion there too, because there is a lot of what people call woo-woo. There are some things that are out of integrity with our faith.
I would say every secular school kind of goes that route. I don't want to say
that's all
of them.
That's a bold statement.
That is a bold statement, because you were trained in strengths coaching. They don't really go that way.
It's just it depends. We got to define our terms in terms of what you're going to be able to accomplish. I mean, can a secular life coaching school certainly help somebody to grow natural virtue? Yes. Can it help somebody do better their life? Yes. Can they guide somebody to their ultimate purpose? It's maybe a little bit more than where they're at, but that's still a relative measurement. But ultimately, what we stand upon as Catholic coaches or Christian coaches, is that anthropology, that the only true agent of change is God and His grace. And the only one that can reveal our ultimate purpose and meaning to us is God. So if you remove God, then who are you referencing to get those answers to those really deep questions? A lot of it is going to the self. And the self, let's face it, the reason we're showing up to coaching in the first place is because we are woefully inadequate to answer those questions ourselves. And so we want at Metanoia Catholic to really put the cornerstone of transformation back where it belongs in the personal development world.
Yeah. I would say, actually, when I first heard about life coaching, just to answer the other part of your question, when I first heard about it, I was kind of it seems very arrogant. it's somebody's going to come in here and tell me how to live my life. I don't know. Maybe it's just my natural rebellion side of me. I'm don't tell me what to do, you know, but the more and more I fell into it, and I kind of studied along the lines of more mindset coaching, I was wow, this is really ordered. Mm-hmm. And I studied theology in my undergrad. And I was and if it's ordered, there's a chance there is some, I bet you there's some doctors of the church, some teachings about this that I haven't maybe uncovered. So I went on a research project trying to find that stuff. And holy cow, I found a lot. And I was wait a second. So are you telling me that Jesus was probably the first mindset coach? We'll say that. But then also St. Thomas Aquinas and St. Ignatius of Loyola, they have used a lot of these practices. Mm-hmm. They were all pointed towards God, of course, mm-hmm. Their greatest fulfillment, everybody's greatest, the beatitude in which mm-hmm. we are called to. So that was kind of my journey along that. It was I was introduced life coach world, and then moved more so into doing my own research and how it tied into the Catholic faith.
Yeah, we love the way too that the secular life coach world had made a lot of these things, that these practices that were, you could find them in the doctors of the church, made them very practical and very easy and very appealing also to the modern age, right? And that's always what we're supposed to do as evangelists, is to take that original deposit of faith and represent it in ways that are receivable to contemporaries.
I want to talk about one of the tools that you created, because as Catholics, we don't really like to talk about sales, and sometimes sales and making money doesn't feel great, but how else are we going to provide for our family? How else are we going to pay the bills? And how else are we going to help others create a life of impact? My wife ordered a couple of journals, a couple extra. It's okay. It's all right. I got a couple more, but talk about the Metanoia journal. I've been using it the last couple of days. And what I've been doing in the morning is I've been taking time out in the morning, not going on the phone. And this is the first thing that I do in the morning. And I'm not a good journaler. And I know a lot of you out there are going to say, oh, I don't like journaling. It's a waste of time. It's just, it's painful sometimes. It's just to sit quietly. I know. Well, it's just sit quietly and to have your thoughts come out. It's sometimes it may be boring for some people, or you may be uncomfortable. So, you know, Matt, why did you create the journal? And second question to piggyback on that one, how can you use it effectively for the listeners out there?
Sure. Well, I mean, the journal was really something we created by accident, quite frankly. Erin had one of her very first clients, and she was doing work with him. She was the first one to step into go out there and start coaching. And he came in, he was a personal friend. He's like, you know what? I'm just going to stop doing the coaching just because I'm not really doing the work in between sessions. One of the things that we realized was that, yeah, we were like meeting, and then we didn't really have, we're practicing a lot of these skills, these mindset skills on the session, but then we weren't really giving a tool to people to be able to do the work in between sessions. So it was kind of like going to
a coach, like a fitness coach.
Yeah. And like doing your personal training, but then in between personal training sessions, not doing any weightlifting or something.
You're eating
like that.
Cheeseburgers, basically.
Yeah. Right. How much growth are you really going to have? In fact, yeah, there's a lot of cheeseburger eating. You know, that analogy, we could really explore that too. So I was actually, we just got out of church. I ran into him. I just developed a prototype, something that was going to allow me to kind of continue doing some work beyond a course I was finishing up. I said, how about this? I'll bet you $100 that you can't do this kind of little journal every single day for 60 days. And if you do it, then I will pay you $100. But if you miss one day, then you pay me $100. So all the power is in your hands. Well, at the end of 60 days, I paid him $100. But halfway through, he even came to me and was just like, this has been so impactful for me. Like I've never been so aware of what was going on in my own interior life and been able to take like, and at this point we hadn't even made it Catholic. We hadn't even made it Christian. It was very much just a, you know, something that you would find the secular mindset coaching where going to your interior life, almost a bit of a mindfulness exercise that was there too. And so as Erin and I started to kind of go along with this little challenge with him, we started to see ways that we could really bring in the Holy Spirit and make this a prayer. Erin had done some training with Unbound Ministries. Mm-hmm. And so that was something that whole prayers of forgiveness and release and renouncing, standing in the authority of our baptism in the name of Jesus. That was something that we saw as very powerful. Mm-hmm. Opening up what was going on in their interior lives and presenting it to the Lord and saying, what is your interpretation of what's going on here? To set goals, and not just set goals, but to like take those things and bring them to a place of detachment where it's just like, okay, this is my best future that I could possibly imagine based on where I'm at right now, Lord. Mm-hmm. I'm going to present them to you so you can baptize them, but so I can also pursue them with a really healthy, holy place of detachment, because I want to be led by your will and not by my will. And so as we started to kind of bake these into like these seven exercises, eventually it just kind of morphed into a place where we were building out prototypes, inviting other people, doing beta programs into it.
Yeah.
And it just, when we finally got to this place where it was the final product that you're holding in your hand, you know, it just was really morphed into something that was very beautiful. And dare I say, paralleled a lot of what you'd find in the Examen prayer, St. Ignatius of Loyola's Examen prayer. Mm-hmm.
Even the book, when we started reading The Ways of Mental Prayer,
oh my goodness,
just finding such parallels. Like it was like such a work of the Holy Spirit that you're like, you can't even like take any credit for it. You're like, oh my goodness, like
you're becoming a modern day contemplative.
I didn't even know that this was what we were kind of co-creating with God, cooperating with God and creating this. A couple of days before we were about to go into print and print these, like
2000 journals.
We did our final edits and it was like, you know what? There was like this moment where it was like, are we out of integrity? Are we taking too much from like the secular world? All of that stuff.
Other sources.
Other sources.
Infringing even on copyright in some areas. And we're just like, man, we got to pause. And it,
so how did you get over that overthinking? That's an important question. I wanted to dive into that as another question, but how did you overcome that? Because most of us overthink. I like the ready, fire, aim model. It's worked really well for me for the last several years, but some people ready, aim, then the gun, they got to go clean the gun a little bit. Oh, I'm out of bullets. And how did you guys overcome that block?
So I think it's actually interesting because our personalities together, we are like you, like we just go, mm-hmm. go. And rarely do we stop and reflect.
I slow a little bit. Aaron is the activator, right?
Boom. Go. I'm like, it's better. You know, we ask for forgiveness than permission and like that kind of stuff. But there was something in both of us and we were both like just feeling it. And this is usually my confirmation because like, if he aligns with that intuition, I'm like, okay, let's just like sit and pause. I was like, I'm going to go pray. And in probably an hour, we created the new,
like
me and the Lord, I guess, created.
I ate my feelings. Aaron went and prayed.
Created like the second page of the journal. Like basically it was like not like that. And it was totally different. And and we gave so much more space to the metanoia portion of the journal, which is the most important part. We added in the repentance, forgiveness, renouncing. But yeah, so in that moment, it's interesting that you asked that question, Gino, because this journal eventually turned into what we call our Metanoia Catholic Academy. There were so many people using this journal and they're like, I know there's different ways of using this journal. And instead of getting on the phone with every single one of them, we created like this academy that people can join monthly.
It's
month
a
to month.
Membership, yep.
But one of the things that you were talking about was what we call kind of this inactive or passive action where they'll just take in lots of information but never actually act upon it. Mm-hmm. As I was saying, naturally, that's not where we are, but we do notice there's a lot of our clients who live in that space of just not moving. Mm-hmm. How would you coach somebody on that? I know how I would, but I'm just wondering.
Well, oftentimes I find that there's it gets to a place of indulgence, right? And when we say indulgence, what we mean by that is like there's just no fruits, it's barren. Like it's not producing anything that's really fruitful at that point. And there's no progress that's taking place. And so when it gets to that place of indulgence, oftentimes there's like this thought behind of like, I don't have enough information. And so they have a very undefined goal or level of like what enough is, and
or
so,
motivation
or motivate you're right
motivation.
And so I like to, or there's something that's behind the scenes, there's an obstacle and there's self-sabotage that's going on. So I kind of like to go through and see, okay, is there any fear that's there? If there's fear, let's lean into that fear. If there's confusion in terms of what enough is, okay, let's define our terms and really like not make it so that we're shooting for a horizon, which by definition we will never meet, but let's define that. So it's a building on the horizon that we can eventually reach as long as you keep walking. Those are kind of some thoughts there.
Kind of like you become the thought detective.
Yeah.
Like you're trying to figure out, okay, what is it? What's the thing that's behind this that's kind of keeping you inactive? Yeah.
I know my wife wants to jump in and ask a question, but before she does, I need to throw a little bit of business in here because it can't be just about coaching at all. And what I used to tell our students when we're investing in real estate or they're we don't lack motivation, we lack clarity. And we talk about buying real estate properties and get clarity on what you're trying to buy, get clarity on your exit strategy, get clarity on your goals of what you're trying to accomplish. So I think that's what coaching actually allows you to do. Whereas therapy may be a little bit different where you're really looking back in the past and sometimes you're stuck in the past. Coaching acknowledges what happened in the past, but you're also looking towards the future and trying to work in goals towards the future. And we should also say that coaching really deals with people who are mentally stable. We're not talking about people who have serious psychotic problems or really mental illnesses. That's more for therapy. We're talking for people who are just stuck, who are just in a rut, who don't know what the next step is and who feel a little stuck. So that, you know, people don't really, like I said, don't lack that motivation. They lack the clarity. And that's what Matt and Aaron and Julie and Gino are trying to provide for people.
Yeah, I really want to get to the mindset part of it, because this to me was the most wow moment, I think, in all of, as we were talking a little bit before the podcast, I really made fun of my husband when he wanted to become a little bit. I was like, this is ridiculous, but go for it. I gave him the go. I said, do it. But I did notice, oh my gosh, did I notice how many people he helped? And when they came up to me with like teary eyes, these are men with teary eyes saying, your husband really changed my life. I'm like, really? My husband, the real estate guy. Okay. What did he do?
Let me paint the picture for everybody. It's December of 2018. We're going over the Mario Cuomo, the former Tappan Zee Bridge. We're going into in one of the towns in New Jersey. It was during Christmas week. It took us 2.5 hours to get there. It's usually a 45-minute ride. So I'm saying to my wife, I'm really sorry. I'm putting you out on this. We're here in New York for 10 days and I'm working during it. So we go into the basement of this real estate meetup and there's about 50 people there. And I do this presentation. I don't really remember if I did great or not great.
You did a pretty good job.
Pretty good.
I was impressed because that was the first time I ever saw you speak.
And then at the end of it, I finish up and that's what happened. She starts people coming over and hugging me.
I didn't know.
You know what I mean? And I just, you try to explain to somebody what you do. It's very hard that I'm a life coach. She's like, what are you talking about? And then actually I give her a lot of credit because most spouses would either be jealous or they would say, well, you know, whatever. And she actually looked into it and she went to coaching school and a Christian coaching school. And to me, I think she's a 10 times better coach than I am as far as life coaching. She's softer. She's a better listener.
I'm not softer, actually.
You have a softer approach, I am more goal is, you know, solution oriented. You know, give me a problem. You want to buy a property next year? I'll help you. You know, the Philly stuff, go to Julie. She's really good at that. So,
but I want to go, I want to talk about the mindset. And sorry about that, you know, interruption with my,
I love it when
you interrupt.
Oh, I love it.
Don't you? Okay. So it's the mindset because that to me was like, wow, we can pay attention to our thinking and actually act upon them. And I really want to hear your take on that, the both of you.
Once I realized this, I was like, wait a second. Are you kidding me? No. How am I just
so easy?
Yes. How am I just hearing this right now? That not only can I think about my thinking and that I can choose my thinking, which is a big piece. Yeah. I mean, you think about our spiritual powers of our soul and our catechism, it says this, our intellect and our will, our spiritual powers of our soul. Like this is what distinguishes us from the animals. Mm-hmm. Like the fact that we can think about our thinking and then we can choose to think something else. I was like, hold up.
To not use it is like inhuman.
To not use it is right. And it's also in like you're not using your gifts responsibly. You're not being good steward that. So I'm actually here to say, if you're a Christian or Catholic, like you best be moving into this, like this actual skill, like you should be moving into this. I don't like using the word should a lot, but you should be moving into this and entering into this ability and utilizing this ability that God gave you.
Mm-hmm. Do you know why, before I let Matt answer, is because we are not taught this in school. Mm-hmm. We are not taught to be a responsibility junkie. I mean, I tell all the students, if you want to start having a successful and an impactful life and a fruitful one and grow, you need to be responsible for all of your actions and all of your decisions. Once you become a victim, all of a sudden you're giving up the power. So for me, that responsibility, that long-termism, it goes hand in hand. And like you, I don't know if I was taught that or not, but at one point when I went to coaching school, I'm like, wow, this makes so much sense. I'm at least aware of my thoughts. I have levels of energy. I have all of these energy blocks we're talking about. None of this is taught. This should all be taught in high school and college.
Well, that's one of the things we made two of our kids do. One graduated front with youth ministry degree. And she's like, I didn't know any of this. I made her take a coaching course. And my son as well, who's in college, because they're not learning it. And it's such a basic tool to have a relationship.
Matt, I'm sorry.
Yes, go ahead.
Please continue with
no, that. I'm right on with it. Like we're seeing it like across the board. They teach you what to think at schools,
right?
Not how to think.
Yeah.
And you know, if that's all we're doing, then really the quality of that education is going to be 100% in the hands of the person that's actually like where the rubber meets the road and who's actually talking. Because man, there's some garbage that's going on right here. The what is part of the problem. But like when you teach somebody how to think, there's something that's very empowering about that. And that's what, for me, when I started to realize how much I was just punching myself in the face with my own thoughts and just abusing myself and like victimizing myself and then blaming other people for it. This is like, it was really a moment of like, all right, this sucks because I'm realizing that I'm the villain in this. A lot of the time I'm the villain. But I also have an opportunity to step in here and take responsibility. And that's really the hero's journey, is the one who takes responsibility. The villain and the hero, at some point, they started off as a victim. But at some point, one takes responsibility and the other one never does. Mm-hmm. Now, what I love about this from a Christian perspective is that there's only one true victim, right? And there's only one true hero. And we are invited to participate in that. And that means that our will gets to show up. God doesn't just zap us and take over, but he invites us with our will to actually participate in his plan of salvation, to be an active participant. And we read St. Paul talks about filling up what is lacking and what the sufferings are and what Christ's suffering is. There's something beautiful in that we have a God who loves us so much that not only does he by himself, by his own merits, as he purchased and earned for us salvation, but he wants to share that in us out of an act of generosity. Yeah. He doesn't need it, but out of generosity, because that's who he is, he invites us to participate in that. And we get to experience a whole new facet of who he is on a very intimate level. And I mean, like, why is this so important? Because, and this is why we stand on with as Catholic coaches, if it's not a milestone on the way to beatitude, which is a full union of us, ourselves as persons with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for all eternity, if that's not the trajectory of our goals and everything, then we got to pick better goals at that point. Mm-hmm. Or we need to make some adjustments.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can you guys objection block some of the other objections that people talk about with coaching? Oh, coaching's not for me. Oh, I don't have time. And then I would love to hear maybe one or two stories or examples of people that you've helped and being able to help transform their lives.
Mm. Yeah, I think rarely do I get on a call with somebody who says like coaching isn't for me. It's usually people who don't call you who think that, right? Mm-hmm. But, and maybe it's my conviction that's contagious. I don't know. I'm like just guessing. Do you know that you're sanguine of the sanguine temperament? Mm-hmm. And our enthusiasm can be very contagious in talking to people. But I do believe that everyone would benefit from a coach. Like, especially a Catholic coach or a Christian coach, right? Like, I think everyone would benefit from it. Of course, I'm never going to like force anyone to do it. But what I say to people is, I can't really speak to you for your own life and I can't make this decision for you, but here's how it's affected my life. I have never seen such growth in my own life when I started coaching, when I started receiving coaching and then coaching others. It was just like, if I look back even a year ago, I'm like, the amount that I've grown is just tremendous. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, of course I want to share that with you. Of course I want to, but of course it's your choice. I mean, that's how I would approach it. Yeah. Just kind of tell my own story.
One of the ways that I would approach it too is like, okay, we find if we just look at our own lives, we're going to find that we reach out to some sort of counsel at some point. We recognize that like we've hit a wall. We can't kind of figure it out on our own. And so what do? We naturally go to somebody else and we seek good counsel. But oftentimes, like the limit to where that counsel takes us is based on the formation of that counselor. And so what a coach has done is really invested a lot of time and a lot of treasure and a lot of their own energy in growing their ability to really abide with somebody in their journey. And so the return that you get with somebody that is skilled, and there are skills, real skills that can be brought to the table that are very effective when applied appropriately. You're going to get a much better return than when you talk to your friend that immediately over empathizes with you and says, oh, and reinforces your own destructive narrative. Like, oh yeah, you are totally a victim here. And oh, man, like no responsibility, stuff like that. So that's one thing. The other thing that I tell people is when I was very suspicious of this when I got started. And for me, what moved me was when I sat down with somebody that didn't sell me at all. In fact, I called them back. This person was a coach, my first coach, Ryan Donovan is his name. And I reached out to Ryan. I was just like, I see something in you that I really, really, really want. And I was at a point in my life where the most terrifying thing for me was to be the same person I was 6 months from now or a year from now. And I remember asking him, and it was like, kind of like my analytical mind, like, okay, what's my ROI going to be? And when do I make this investment? Because it was significant. And he just looks over at me square face and he said, Matt, end of 6 months, you're not going to recognize yourself. And for me, there was something so consoling about that. And I was just like, I'm sold at this point, because I was stuck. Mm-hmm. And I'd already gone through the bootstrapping of trying to get myself out of there, and it hadn't worked at that.
And I think you kind of knew you were stuck, but you didn't have the words to say it. Like you didn't have the actual like language to be like,
it was painful to admit it. Yeah. Because then it just sent me on a trajectory of despair at that point. Mm-hmm. So
do you mind if I add a couple other things? I think the coaching for people they really should listen to. First thing is free is free. When you get something for free, you don't, this is why socialism doesn't work. You just don't, honor it. But if you start paying $1,000 an hour, $5,000 an hour, all of a sudden you're listening to that person.
Yes.
And I think the other thing is that as coaches, we're pretty detached to the situation. Whether you succeed or you don't, that's up to you. We don't have a fight in the game, and we're not going to change our rules or our skills to suit your needs. So we're being detached is important. If I come to my wife with a problem, she has sort of a say in the thing. So she may not give me honest and raw feedback and tell me the truth. So I think it's really important. That's what coaching allows you to do. Yeah,
no,
but
I do.
Maybe that's when I come to you. Maybe that's why I'm coming to Matt and Aaron right now. I'm going to come to you. So.
It can be a minefield when your spouse shows up.
The word my kids are like, this is the worst. We have two life coaches as parents. This is horrible.
Yes.
The questions are very different at our house. They don't ask what's the matter, what's wrong.
Fights are in a completely different language.
Yes. Like I'm having a thought that is creating this feeling. And it's like that's
did
how
not ask to be coached right now.
Yeah.
That's right. Stop coaching.
But what you just said to me was so profound and most people probably wouldn't even catch it. You said, how do you feel? Most people are never even asked that question. What are you feeling? We just go through life and not even try to explore our own feelings. And that's what I think when you're talking to a coach like Matt and Aaron there, you can explore your feelings and you can get them out and not be judged and be able to have that conversation, because ultimately we all have the questions and the answers inside of us. I need Matt and Aaron there pulling those answers out because I may be afraid. I may need that space, but that's what I need a coach for.
Matt, you mentioned most people go to a friend. They go to a family member, somebody that they're familiar with, that they know what they're going to tell them.
Yes.
They already know what they're going to say. And so that's a lot of us as a victim. We're like, well, I need someone to tell me I'm okay where I am. I need to stay because it takes effort. It really does. When we go to a coach, it takes effort. And, I see people are like, oh, I have to cancel this week. I'm like, no, you don't. I'm going to see you at 3:00.
Like, she's afraid of a 5'1" blonde, 119 pounds, 250, buy the deal. It took you 2 years. Why did it take you 2 years? And I'll give you another quick story. I have a coach. His name is Bill Hamm. He's amazing. He's super intelligent. He kept telling himself he was lazy. He was lazy. He was lazy. I'm like, Bill, write the book. I'm too lazy. We're at a boot camp one day and Bill sits down with Julia and Julia's talking to him. She's like, Bill, call me on Friday. We'll start writing a book. And 6 months later, the book is finished from weekly calls, getting out with Julia. And she knows nothing about real estate detached. And I'm like, really? And then in the intro section, she gets all the acknowledgement. He's like, Jake and Gino, thanks. And if it wasn't for Julia, I would never. And obviously it's true, but it stung a little bit. I'm not going to lie to you.
I could tell because he talks about this.
Talk about it all the time. I'm like, what did you do, Julia?
I had the best laugh. It made me really happy when I read it.
You got on the phone for an hour to talk to this guy. You have no strategy, no business. Yeah. But at the same time, what
we really, and like I said, if you're going to go to someone, let's say you can't, you don't have a life coach right now, but you will. Everyone listening, find out who you're talking to, because if you're going to talk to someone that's just going to say, yeah, you're fine where you are, poor you, we have to,
Boy, baby, you are good.
Be out there.
My next question is, why should you question associations?
There you go.
A mind reader, really good. But before you answer that, I was just joking about that with Bill. He actually wrote a second book. No, it's amazing what she did with him, because she gave him the space to get there. She held him accountable, because every week, Bill, did you write another 20 pages? Bill, did you write another 20 pages? Like what Matt said, you're putting in the work in the journal, or you're putting work in yourself, and you're being held accountable by somebody. So that's really, really important. So the association. Why you guys wrote a blog article, I think, on questioning associations. Why should you question them?
Actually, it was one of our coaches who wrote it, but
it gets into brainwashing.
Yeah,
I think
that's
kind of the big buzzword.
So one of the things that
really nerdy.
Yes, one of the things that we teach, and it's like our basis for our coach training, but it's St. Thomas Aquinas's philosophy of psychology.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it teaches that there's a material mind and an immaterial mind. The immaterial mind is the soul. Material mind is things that can be measured. We can see it in a brain and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this part of the material mind called the cogitative power. Basically, its only function, or no, it's got a couple functions, but one of its functions is to create associations. So what is an association? It's just a grouping that we make. We share this with the animals, though, too. Mm-hmm. My dog smells bacon, she comes running. She's like, bacon equals good. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know, rain equals bad. Like, this is like, I'm thinking of my dogs.
Rain equals bad right now because our dog got skunked about a month ago. And every time she it rains, she gets wet. Like the house smells like a skunk again.
Yes. It's like reactivate skunk smell.
So I have a new association with rain.
So anyway, so that's what an association is. But a lot of times we don't question even our associations, which a lot of beliefs and thoughts are built upon. So let's just say, for example, somebody has a really bad experience, like a girl in high school has a really bad experience with a boyfriend. Mm-hmm. Like, he's abusive, he lies to her, he's manipulative, and she makes an association, men who act this, like men who remind me of this guy equals bad. Mm-hmm. Right? Down her, down the line, she creates all of these other thoughts and beliefs around, and then maybe even becomes more extreme. All men are bad. Mm-hmm. Now it's like this big tree that's been like, it's this big, like rotten fruit tree, mm-hmm. right? That's blocking her from opening herself up to love, to anyone, to any man, you know, and it goes like a very wayward way. So this is why we want to challenge these associations, these groupings, these things that we're making equal bad or good. And so we actually give series of questions to our coaches to actually even challenge these associations. Like, is that good all the time? Who do you think would want you to continue to have this association? God or the enemy?
And the beautiful thing about associations is it allows us to actually live without having to think really hard through every sort of situation. So once we can kind of group something as good, we have kind of a habitual inclination towards it at this point. And so our body is already kind of moving towards that good without us having to cognitively engage at that, because we have a limited amount of cognitive power here, a limited amount of brain energy. I remember the book, The Power of 50 Bits. It talks about like conscious brain capacity is really that. There's limited brain juice. And so God designed us so that once we can know the good, we can kind of habitually start to move towards it. And that's when the cogitative power, that power of association, is working to our benefit. The problem is when it makes an association that's not really aligned with reality, right? Of what one is. And we end up making snap judgments, and we end up, like in the scripture say, we call good bad or bad good, or the light darkness and the darkness light. Mm-hmm. And so this is where, when we engage on our intellects, and we actually use the power of reason that Aaron talked about that really distinguishes us from the animals, it has an effect of actually filtering down and purifying and realigning, reorienting this cogitative power, this power of association, so that it is pointed true north. It is pointed towards the says that good things are good and evil things are evil. And then we can operate more virtuously that way, because virtuous is the habit, habitually doing good, the habit of moving towards the good.
And we can only get so far with reason, with the power of reason, right? Like, when we invite grace in and we start removing those obstacles of grace, it's like supercharges our ability to reason and know truth and to choose the good. It's like a beautiful thing. And the Lord just created this, and we're so ordered, and we're like, this makes so much sense.
If all we're being inclined to is inclined towards a natural good, meaning like the good that we can figure out here, ascertain here in this world, but the reality is we're created for a divine good, a supernatural good. We need grace to even desire that supernatural good, or to even be inclined towards that supernatural good.
Your associations remind me of a quote from Mark Twain. It's not what you don't know that's going to get you in trouble. It's what you know for sure that just ain't so. So those associations that you make in life, that really, are they really true? I mean, is it really true that all men are evil? Or is it really true that when you're a baby and you're on a countertop, you see green carpet, baby falls off, they associate green carpet being dangerous? No, it's something else. So I would have everyone, we call it an assumption in the coaching school that I went to, but it's the very same thing. You assume things, and assuming things like getting into a real estate deal. We'll talk real estate real quick. Getting into a partnership. A partnership might have failed. Yeah. So don't make that association that every partnership is bad. Right. Maybe you were the bad partner, or maybe you weren't ready for a partner. So always challenge those assumptions. But first of all, like you said in the beginning, you need to be conscious or aware that you even have these associations and they're coming, like you said, that RAS, a reticular activating system in our mind, is always looking at things that are fresh or that we're actually focusing on. So if you're focusing on those negative associations, what's going to happen? You're going to hit those associations that are negative. But if you have that clarity where, let me just be open-minded, people see the world as they are, not as it is. And if you see that association and you let that hold you, that's your energy block. That's not going to let you allow you to go forward.
That's so interesting what you said about the assumptions. I'm thinking to myself, because I'm like, yeah, like an association is what you make equal good or bad. An assumption is similar to that, but it's what you make equal true or untrue.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
So it's kind of those two, they're like cut from the same cloth, but like, because an assumption is like, you're just assuming something's true.
And that's the thing. Assumptions are really, they're really high up on what we've learned. Limiting beliefs, that's a belief that's holding you back. You can crush that. Once it's done, I'm not making enough money. I need money to make money in real estate. Once you learn that there's other ways to do it, you can. But that assumption has really happened to you. Maybe you've gotten married and you've have a divorce now, and now you're going to assume every relationship going forward is going to be bad. That assumption that's really happened to you, that's in your neurology, that's in your DNA, that's part of you. And as coaches, you're there to say, well, is that really going to happen going forward? And if you have that you know, behavior, that belief, because our beliefs are behavior driven. If we believe that and that assumption holds true, then guess what? It's just going to be a self-fulfilling prophecy. And yes, most of us don't look at it that way.
Yeah. I'm really curious because the two of you are married and working together. And you seem to be super polite to each other.
Very I love impressed. The laugh that just happened.
A little giggle.
So tell us what it's like. We share what it's like for us. You know, it's super fun.
Full disclosure, I love it. I would not want to have it any other way.
I agree with you.
I mean, this is part of what I want to do.
Then if you have, you know, you and Jake are different, you know, you have a different relationship, obviously, because, you know, more feelings come in, you know. Just saying, sometimes you irritate me differently than somebody else.
Like I said, I'm sitting here not doing anything. I'm getting blamed again.
Sometimes you look at me wrong and I know what you're thinking. See, that's always a fun coaching thing. So tell me what it's like for real and how you work at it, because it's something I'm noticing that as the time goes on and as we expand the company a little bit more, maybe I have ideas, he has ideas, and we have to figure out.
Time out. I think Matt should get an award, because if Julia came to me an hour before we're going to print and said, your journal sucks, not in so many words, I'm going to change half of it, I'd have been like, you ain't doing that. I'm leaving it. But Matt had the grace to say, you know what,
yes,
Julia, you're right. We could make it better.
Yeah.
And most of us don't have the humility
time,
and the grace and the patience to do that. So didn't mean to cut you over, baby, but now you can yell at me. But seriously, I mean, that kudos to you for doing that, because that's really hard. That's our ego gets in the way of a lot of things in life. That's one of the downfalls of every strong business person, every strong leader, every strong father, that he's there and we don't want to let go. Because my wife will tell me a lot of things that I know sometimes to be true, and I don't want to know. I mean, like, listen, I'm singing opera right now, and sometimes she just says, I don't sound as good. I'm like, just, you see what it is? You know, I'm like, oh, but you know what? She's right. Ultimately, she's right, and it's hard to admit it. Yes, is what you say, baby. It's okay.
Sometimes you just need to tone it down.
See, we're having a little therapy session here. It's great. You're letting our feelings go. Matt, how do you do it, Matt? Give me the secrets.
By the way, Matt does sing very loudly, and I say the same thing to him.
Okay.
So I'm like, I love your voice, and I'm trying to concentrate.
Decibels.
Yes.
Conscious of decibels. Well, you're right, Gino. I'm very virtuous. And so that's, that is,
it's true.
I'll hang my hat on that. You know what? So we've been doing a lot of work right now, actually, with the temperaments. And so I'm kind of seeing things through that lens at the moment. And so, not familiar, temperaments, personality tests, one of the oldest, if not the oldest personality tests in the world.
From the Greeks.
But you've got these four different temperaments. We talk about right now. We got a series on our podcast, Catholic Coaching Podcast. I look at things oftentimes, Aaron and I share kind of a choleric, you know, which is really that CEO kind of get her done kind of mentality. But I'm a melancholic and Aaron's sanguine. Aaron's sanguine, always wants to have fun. She's just kind of moving on. Like if it's not fun, it's not worth doing it. Melancholic, I really want to understand. I want to, I can kind of get into my own head.
Analytical.
Very analytical. And so
Matt, not you, Matt. No, not you. Okay.
I'm like, come on, let's hurry. I mean, what are we thinking about right now?
Yeah. So my Clifton Strengths, my first act, I get activator still relatively high. So I don't drag too long, but if there's one of the two of us, I drag. I can tell you this, like our first time really working together was when we were doing youth ministry. Mm-hmm. Aaron was a youth minister and I was coming in and helping teaching confirmation classes. I'd just gotten done teaching at the basic school in Quantico. So I was teaching all the second lieutenants that were coming into the Marine Corps.
Who were all like, I love everything you say. I'm obsessed with you.
It was a very
different thing from like high schoolers.
Catechism. Like, went from very a very thing. Engaged audience to like a zero engaged, like
disengaged.
You couldn't pay me to pay attention. And so like, I really wanted my melancholic, my choleric, this is how it's worked in my military school environment. Like I wanted to set up like our classes like that. And Aaron was like, I want these things called icebreakers. I was like, those are so lame. Like really what we're just going to like get in a circle and like tie a rope around us or like do some like blow tissue balloons up in the, like, what are you talking about? And so we like went through that first class where we didn't do an icebreaker. And it was just like a lead balloon. It really was like, oh man, like this is tough.
And Aaron was just like,
it wasn't fart in church. It was. It was like a fart in confirmation class. So. and it was just like, you know what? All right, let's do an icebreaker. And we did it. And it was a completely change.
Yeah.
It completely changed the mentality. And so that was when I first started to realize that Aaron has some unique ideas that I really I might want to consider. And that's continued to kind of expand over the years, where we recognize the different gifts that one another mm-hmm. brings to the table. And then it's like that Ephesians 5, be mutually submissive to one another out of reverence for Christ, where you start to make room for the other person's gifts to flourish a little bit more. And that sometimes that means like backing off my choleric or backing off my idea or my way of going forward and creating space more for Aaron.
So we're really perfect at like working together. No, I'm just kidding. We really, we're still working through this, but I will say the journal helps.
Oh my goodness.
So much. Like,
because you did half of it in an hour. What do you expect? Yeah. I mean, that's great. You know? So.
No, actually doing the journal and walking away and trusting that we're both doing our own work on it. So if we do disagree, which does happen, we both have predominant choleric, you know, that kind of like my way is the best way, you know? And so like, we really do butt heads, but we do also trust that the other is like giving us, I don't know, giving each other, we're giving each other.
I know you're not going to sit in your own head. Like at some point you're going to take this to the Lord and it's just mm-hmm. like, and the Lord is going to fix it. And I'm going to do the same thing. We kind of liken it to the two boxers, like going to their corners. Like we each go to our prayer corner and we just like, and I think even like Mark and Abby Dufresne, two of our coaches, like their kind of thing right now, they get into an argument and all of a sudden they just see Mark, he goes and he grabs the journal and he walks off into the other room and like, that's great. Like so much of the work is just, it's our work to do. Yes. And our spouse isn't there to just affirm us
or even fix
it. Yeah. She's not here to fix my emotions, but she does have a way of bringing some of my defects to the surface so that if I approach that with humility, it becomes a very fertile space, a very fertile prayer. That I get to bring to the Lord.
That is beautiful.
We could talk for hours, but before we sign off, I want all the listeners to know where they can go to the website, check out all your services, buy the journal. Where can they go?
Podcast info. Mm-hmm. Your podcast is amazing.
All of our stuff is, you can find it all on catholiccoaching.com. Very easy. And we have our podcast there. You can mm-hmm. access some of our podcasts there or all of the podcasts.
No, all the podcasts are there. And mm-hmm. if you go to the site, there's like two really important tabs that are there. There's a lot. It's all important to me, but you can get the journal there. You can even download a free copy of the journal mm-hmm. by hitting get started anywhere on the page. And that'll give you even a little tutorial on how to do each one of the seven exercises. That's a great gateway drug, we say, to Metanoia Catholic. put some negative association on starting to work with us. Great job, Matt.
Like you will feel high.
It'll be a spiritual high. But then there's also like we have the get coaching tab and get trained as a coach. So get coaching will either lead you to our academy. Aaron talked about that. Or we also have some resident coaches that can do some one-on-one coaching. But we're really excited about a certification program we're getting. That we're launching in the spring because we want to see more Catholic coaches. Mm-hmm. Our vision is to have a Catholic coach in every single parish. Because these priests, they're tapping out. They've got way too much pastoral responsibility, administrative responsibilities mm-hmm. on top. There needs to be some sort of lay people coming to the table and reinforcing the pastoral responsibilities of the parish and helping people to clean their interior life, to be transformed by the renewing of their mind. And so that certification is, we're getting ready to launch that, though we've really been training coaches for the last couple of years with our Purgative Way training. And this is an evolution of that. But we have something else that's self-paced for people that want to kind of dip their toe in, or maybe their life coach is trained in a secular school and they really want to ground their coaching in the full like Christian anthropology. That's what our Catholic Coaching Foundations course is for. And so you get a community that's alongside that. You get to really rub elbows with a lot of great coaches.
You get coached
with it
weekly,
but you get that really firm foundation of making sure that your coaching skills are tied back to the catechism, tied back to a lot of the doctors of the church, and grounded in a true understanding, a Catholic understanding of who the human mm-hmm. person is. Because if you get that wrong, mm-hmm. if you don't really understand who we are, how are we going to make that better? You have to know what the nature of the thing is in order to improve the thing. In this case, the thing is not just a thing, it's a person. We have to know the nature of the person, how God.
So before Julia wraps it up, the conversation that Matt and Aaron had, when Aaron came to Matt and said, I think we're going to certify coaches, do a coaching program. Matt was like, I got to think about that. I don't know. And Aaron's like, done. We're already starting it, and we're launching this springtime.
I love it though.
So buckle up, Buttercup.
That's
right?
Why it's okay. You're successful though, and I think that's important because my husband and I deal with that too. Sometimes he's like, "We're going to do it." I'm like, "I'm not ready," you know. But that's. I think that's why we do things, and I think that we need that in our lives. Could you imagine both of us were the same? And I, you know, first of all, that would be boring.
You should watch our Instagram video we did about 10 minutes before we got on with you. It was a 45-second video, and she's looking at me. I'm like, whatever happens, just let the words come out of your mouth. It's great. You know what I'm saying? It's okay.
But I appreciate that about you too. And I have to say that I stumbled upon you by someone who recommends. So someone sent me a link and I somehow found you, the two of you. And I was so, it was just a beautiful podcast that I watched of the two of you. And I was so thankful. And here we are now. You're on our podcast, and it is that it's, you have to say, okay, yes, I don't know these people yet, but I'm going to know them. I'm going to like them. And I loved our conversation. So I just want to thank you for that.
And I just want to thank all the listeners out there for giving us the privilege of spending time with the four of us here and talking about God, talking about making ourselves better, talking about working with personal development, and then ultimately just not about us and about us setting goals, but impacting others' lives as well. So just want to thank both of you for being on, and go buy the journal, everybody.
Thank you so much. You guys are such a joy. We can't wait to come hang out with you when we live in Florida.
Absolutely. We come back to Florida. We'll have a party. Definitely.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Thanks, everybody.
The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. Tractor Supply trusts 5G solutions from T-Mobile. Together, we're connecting over 2,200 stores with 5G business internet, empowering AI so team members can match shoppers with the products they need faster. This is enriching customer experience. This is Tractor Supply with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.